1, and we'll begin in verse number 26, and I'll read down to verse number 38. Now, last week, I had you turning all over the Bible, from page after page, we was going through Scripture because we was looking at prophecy, and we're looking at the fulfillment of prophecy. Now, this week, we're going to just take it a little easier. We're going to spend most of the day in Luke. We may turn to two different places. I'm not sure yet. We'll worry about that when we get there. But most of the time we're going to spend right here in Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26, that's in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So you'll find Luke, the third book in the New Testament. Luke chapter number 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary's encounter with an angel. And in the midst of this encounter, she's going to discover several things. First, we must understand there's been 400 years of silence. I mean, 400 years. From Malachi to Matthew, God has not spoken through a prophet. He has not said a word through a prophet. Then all of a sudden, a flurry of angelic activity has taken place. All of a sudden, the angels are on the scene. Now they're talking to Mary. They're talking to Joseph. They're talking to Elizabeth. And the angels are telling and setting in motion some things which have been prophesied many years prior. I mean, the things are moving quickly. The world is entering into a swift moment of prophetic fulfillment here. And the angel Gabriel at the city of Nazareth, as we read there in verse number 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Mary is a virgin. She's waiting, as the Bible says there. She was espoused in verse 7. She's waiting to finish out the fulfillment of the espousal so that she can be taken as the wife of Joseph. Verse 27, to a virgin, the spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Mary is a virgin. She's waiting that time. Now, as far as I can understand, there is some expectations that were waiting to be fulfilled before Joseph came and took Mary to actually be his wife. But she was at a point where it was a contractual agreement between the two families. The Bible, historians and throughout the Bible, as you look through there, there were some things that was taking place. The two families got together. They agreed. The husband, Joseph, had a responsibility. As far as I can tell through history, his responsibility was to go and to build a home. He was to make the preparations for that home. And Joseph's father would oversee, and he would look, and he would check, and he would say, okay, it's not ready yet, keep working. And when the home was to be completed and be ready, he would say, go get your bride, and he would go and he would take her, and at that moment he'd bring her into the home, and they would have a little small ceremony of some sort, and then they would become husband and wife. But the agreement took place far beyond. I don't know about you, but I've never built a house by myself. I've helped work on a crew. We built a house, and there was four of us that built it. It takes a little bit of time to build a house. Preparations, get ready. In the meantime, Mary herself, she's getting ready. She's getting things ready for the house, getting things, curtains and tablecloths and things. And she's getting her mind, and she's making preparations for all this. And nowhere in the preparations, I guarantee you, was there a meeting with an angel named Gabriel. Matter of fact, she has planned quite some time. I mean, she's dreamed about this moment whenever her groom would come and say, the house is ready, come, and he'd take his bride. She has dreamed about this, and like other young women, young girls, matter of fact, I can probably prove it. I'm going to do something probably here that may and possibly get me in some trouble, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you are a young girl from the age of, let's say, 9 to 12, young girl age 9 to 12, would you come help me real quick? Young girls, all young girls, 9 to 12, come help me. Let's have a conversation here. All of you, 9 to 12. Let's have a little conversation here. Come on up here, girls. Come up here, sit around up here on this thing. Come on over here, brother. Hurry up. If you can't see me, you just hear me. You'll be fine. Come on. What season is this? Winter? What's the holidays about to come up? Christmas. Have you thought about what you're going to get for Christmas? What you want for Christmas? You can tell, look, it's just peanuts. They don't hear. What you want? What you thinking? You got a long list? What's the first thing on the list? What's what? You want new clothes. Sarah? New clothes. Bunny stuff? She wants the bunny stuff. Huh? iPod cases. How about you, Simone? American Girl doll. They've thought about this. They've planned it. Let me ask you something. Have y'all thought about who you might like to marry? Yes. They thought about it. At this age, they thought about it. Just a little bit? No? You've talked about it? Okay. What kind of man do you think your husband would want? What kind of man? A godly man. Trustworthy and loyal. Wow. And you girls have never had, okay, forget the man. Have you ever thought about the wedding?
Yes.
They've planned it. They've thought about it. Sarah, you thought about it? A little bit? She's planned it. Thank you, girls. Mary has put thought into this. Mary has pondered. She's already been espoused. She knows it's taking place. She's waiting for the day her groom comes and takes her to her home. I mean, she's waiting. I mean, someday she's not waiting to find the right man. The right man has been matched up in her life. She's past this age of talking and giggling and thinking about it. She's put some things in system. She's fixing to discover something that God's plans are eternal. Look with me in verse 33. Verse 33. And she shall reign, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob. How long?
Forever.
And of his kingdom there shall be what? No end. She has discovered that God's plans are not her own, that God's plans are eternal, and though she may have planned and she's thought it out, she's probably got some little items she's fixing to take into the home as soon as Joseph calls, but Gabriel shows up on the scene, and Gabriel says to her two things in verse number, two times in verse 28, and verse number 30, what do you think it is? Two times he says this in a small conversation. Thou hast found what?
Favor.
In the sight of God. Thou hast found favor in God's sight. God has placed favor. He's looked at your life. He's looked at your plans. He's looked at everything about you, Mary. And he says, Mary, you remember Isaiah? A virgin shall conceive. Last week we looked at it in detail. See, Christmas is not about Black Friday. Christmas is not about Cyber Monday. It's not about Hangover Tuesday. Have they named it yet? Bankrupt Tuesday. How about that one? It's not about all of that. Christmas is about Jesus. And she's made all these plans about this marriage. In none of those conversations. None of those conversations with her little friends, her growing up. I guarantee you, not one time did she think, after the contract had been made with Joseph's family, there in the city of Nazareth in Galilee, did she say, well, I wonder if I'm going to wake up pregnant one day. The angel appeared. We're waiting for well done, thou good and faithful servant. She has heard it. The angel has showed up and she has discovered something, that she has found favor. And it's a surprising message. I don't know about you, dear friend. It's very surprising. Probably as surprising as Elizabeth's message. The Bible says here that in the last verse that we read, that thy cousin Elizabeth, look there in verse 38. And Mary said, verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Just as surprising. What's about to happen is eternal. It's forever. God works outside of our plans. God works outside of our time frame. 400 years He has not spoken. He prophesied, come to the prophet. He told the prophet, tell the people in Isaiah, I'm going to bring forth a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. He will be born of a virgin. This will be a sign for 400 years after Malachi. Not a word. Now all of a sudden he showed up. Her son would be called the Son of the Most High. Look at verse 32. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. We have, my family, my wife and I have 4 sons that's been born to us. And not once have I thought about them in this manner. Now, I've often thought about, like the other verse says, my son's a lunatic. But not like this. They get it after their father, I promise you. My wife is the sanity of our home. Thy son shall be the Son of the Highest, the Lord God. She's taking this in. It's all of a sudden there. Listen, he would be king and he would reign forever. And when that moment, at that moment, verse 33, and the house of Jacob forever and the kingdom shall have no end, she began to understand eternal. May I caution you this morning, when you make plans, would you please pause for a moment and weigh them in eternity's values? Because up to this point, all she was thinking about was her husband Joseph, the home, the dishes she'd have. Then all of a sudden the angel appeared to her and said, listen, I've got some different plans. This is what God has sent me to say. You shall be with child. So she discovered that God's plans are eternal. Not only did she discover that, she discovered that God's promises are unfailing. God's promises are unfailing. Mary must have been familiar with the promises about the Messiah. Well, how do you know that? Because you don't find favor with God without knowing the things of God. You don't find favor with God. There's too many of us spend too many years saying that we're God's child and walking hand in hand with this world. And we wonder why we don't grow in maturity. We don't grow in the grace of God. We don't grow in the things of God. We wonder why there's a divide between us and God. Because, listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're going to find favor with God, we're going to have to be in favor of the things of God. And many of us in our life, we look at the things of God, we say, that's simply too hard to handle at this moment in my Christian life. You think it wasn't hard to handle? Hey, Mary, my name's Gabriel. I'm an angel of the Lord. You're fixing to be with child. What? Oh, what? You think that wasn't the question? Sure was. She said, how can this thing be? I have not known a man. She just didn't put the what. Some of you would have said, whatever, Lord. Whatever. God has asked some of us right now to do something for Him. I don't know what it is in your life. It's an individual thing. This was between Mary and God. But just like God had a plan for Mary, God has a plan for you. Are you asking the questions like Mary? Mary said, how can this be? Are you saying, Lord, are you sure? He's the God of heaven who sits the moon in His place, the sun, the stars in His place. He's put the seas so they don't cross a boundary. He says He's made it where the birds that fall in death, He knows them. He clothes the ground. He brings up grass. He brings the sun up. This is the God. And we're going to ask Him, are you sure? Mary says, how can this be? This was not her questions. She understood that God's... She was familiar with the story. She just said, I'm going to love God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to spend time with God. And then all of a sudden, God says, hey, that's the one I'm going to use. Kind of reminds me of an old story in the Old Testament about Enoch. One day he was, and one day he wasn't. I often wonder myself, did God like send an angel by to his wife? Say, hey, you know, you had a good man, but I desired him more than you. So I thought about, you know, what happened in there? All of a sudden he was and he wasn't. Why? Because he had pleased God. He had that testimony. So she understood that all of a sudden, I imagine the times that she had sit under the reading in the synagogue and sit under the times where maybe even around her own household after leaving the synagogue and coming back on the road back to their house and her husband, her dad and her mom and maybe the brothers and sisters. Are they still talking about this prophecy from Isaiah? You remember, it probably became a byword. I told you, it probably is something just... like we get just so used to hearing it. Like in the beginning, it was like exciting. Wow, I hope I'm that one. You know, in the very beginning, then years begin to pass and readings of the Word begin to pass and then times begin to pass and day by day and then all of a sudden it was like, really? Then 400 years, God doesn't speak. No prophets. And now an angel shows up. In the back of her mind. You know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit of God? He will bring to remembrance and testify of me. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Ghost has a job. Then all of a sudden, the angel speaking. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow her. And it began to come. She remembered the Scripture. She hungered and thirsted as a young virgin after the things of God. And she favored the things of God over the things of the world. And by doing so, she grew a relationship with God in so much that God says, you are the one. Would to God we'd cultivate such a relationship that when God has a job to do, He would look down at our church and He would say, you are the one. And not be like the time when God came to Jesse's house. Bring him pie. Samuel standing there, one by one. Another one. Another one. Till they got down to the end and Samuel said to Jesse, is this all you got? Can you imagine a question like that? Is this all I got? I brought the best of the best, the runts outside keeping sheep. And he said, bring him. Brought David, the run of the family. And used him. See, sometimes we look upon people and we look at their educational status, their business status, we look at their stature, we look at their characteristics, their charisma, We look at the way they can orate and they can speak and the way they have confidence, and we say, man, that's got to be the one. It got Israel in trouble, didn't it? Hidden tall above all. Saul, yeah, got him in trouble. See, God doesn't look on the outward part of man. God looks on the inward part. And I guarantee if we could have Mary sitting here today, dear friend, we would understand something. Mary was just a humble, God-fearing, God-loving, God-favoring individual that said, God, nevertheless, thy will be done. I have these plans, but Lord, here's my life. I'm a living sacrifice. Use me. So she discovered that God's plans are eternal. She discovered that God's plans are unfailing. The Bible says in Isaiah 7:14, you'd be born of a virgin. The Bible says in Micah 5:2 that the child will be born in Bethlehem. So all these things are there, and she's remembering them. And Gabriel reveals to her in verse 33, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And I think about the lineage, the human lineage of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we need to go back and study it. Look at the human lineage of Jesus Christ there in Matthew. And look at the people who are in line there. Who's in the lineage? You have Rahab the harlot. You have Solomon. You have the wife of Uriah. What's her name? Bathsheba. And God names it. Says, this child and the offspring of this this situation which David had got himself caught in, and there, and God names her there in Matthew that she's the wife of Uriah. And then you get down and you have the very end, a virgin. You see what it says there, that verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. He discovered that God's power was unlimited. Dear friends, sometimes we look at the things of life and the situations of life. We look at our finances. We look at our physical attributes. And we look at the strength that we have at the end of the day, how tired we are at the end of the day, and how much strength we used to have 30 years ago, and we begin to faint in our mind and begin to faint in our heart at the storms of life. But dear friend, it doesn't matter about the storms. God is bigger than all of our storms, all of our trouble, all of our difficulties, all of our heartache. God is much bigger, and nothing is impossible with God if, and only if we find favor with God. And how do you do that? You've got to be in love with the things of God. You got to be in love with Him. You got to build that relationship. You got to be in love with His Word and absorbing it and hungering and thirst and after righteousness. You got to be in love with others. He loved us before we ever thought about loving Him. And sometimes the whole issue of life is that we can't find it in our heart to love others. Some reason or another, we think that our sin and our life is up above that of others. We better get to the point where we understand it's only by the grace of God that we are who we are. Only by God's grace. And she discovered that His power was unlimited. And though she was confused, she understood and accepted the fact that with God, all things are possible. And though it seemed as impossible that the Holy Ghost of God would come over and overshadow her and that she would conceive a child, she submitted to that. And dear friend, listen to me. We have to have faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when God presents Himself and presents a job or presents opportunity of ministry for us, we have to understand that with us and in our might and our power, it is impossible. But when we let God rule and reign in our hearts and brings peace into our life, and we submit ourselves to God, all things are possible. So she discovered his plans was eternal. She discovered that God's plans were unfailing. She discovered that God's power was unlimited. Listen, with God, all things are possible. What good news it is at a time and day in which we live in today. I mean today, in this world which we live in, it seems as though this world is upside down. Everything about us, it just seems crossways. There's nothing normal about anything in this world today. And listen, the prince and power of this earth, the rules and reigns, the darkness powers of this earth is trying to cause confusion. But we got to get to the point where we realize that God is not a God of confusion. And this Christmas season, we got to remember that all things are possible. Can you understand with me just for a moment that when God works in our lives, and He does something like this, like a miracle that we're talking about right now, and He does something in our lives that's like that, what faith builder that must be in our life. You know why God wants to work in your life, Brother Johnson? He wants to work in your life so your faith will increase. No, Brother Ron, why God wants to talk to you and work in your life and be able to have a relationship with you and spend time with you, He wants to increase your faith. Because He knows as our faith is increased and our faith is enlarged, we are willing to step out and do more for Him. So what an amazing time this year, Christmas time. As we pause and we think and we look at life and we look at everybody around us and we look at what's going on in our country to let God be big in our life. As I think about this here whole situation, I've discovered that in this situation, it's just like the gospel. Just like Mary discovered that God's plans were eternal, that God's promises were unfailing, that God's power was unlimited, God's plan for eternity was through the cross. And the cross of Calvary. It's eternal. When I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Lord and Savior, I am saved for eternity. God wants to work in your life through salvation that you might have eternal life. Forever. That's what His kingdom, that's what it said in verse 33. And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. In His kingdom there shall be no end. You know what the devil would have you to believe? That you only have eternal life for a season. For a certain amount of sins. Or a certain amount of faith. So he can rob you of eternal joy. So I find that in this here story that we've just read about, that God's plan for eternity in the cross matches what it says here at His birth. And He's not even been born yet. Not only that, God's promises are unfailing. You know how He proved that? The resurrection. He died on that cross. He was buried. He could have stayed there. But you know what He did on the third day, just like it was prophesied? He rose again from the grave. So that we can understand that His promises are unfailing. And God's power is unlimited. Nothing is impossible. You know, I think about this, Brother Jim. The new birth. How that Jesus Christ could die on the cross of Calvary, a sinless Lamb of God. God Himself, robed in the flesh, died on that cross so that He could offer eternal life, give us proof by resurrection, move into a sinner, and make them a new creature. Amen. That's amazing. That is amazing. The new birth. To those that believe that His power is unlimited. I have to be honest. I think about things that I've done and I was involved in, the things and the life that I lived and how God worked in my life and made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, God, thank You very much that Your power is unlimited. Amen. going to be a sad thing, Sister Rena, that if God said to people, well, if you've ever smoked a cigarette, or you ever chewed tobacco, or you ever cursed somebody, or you ever stole something, or you ever, God forsake, had fornication, committed adultery, or you know, stole something, stole from your employer, if you've ever done any of these here 10 things, or whatever number we might put upon them, whatever it is, I'm sorry, you cannot be saved. You know what that would be saying? That His power is limited. But there's power in the blood, and it washes away the deepest of sin. And God doesn't look at your life and say, oh, you're a Sunday school kid, so you deserve heaven. He looks at you and says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not you, no, not one. It doesn't matter where you come from, where you were born, who were you born to, if your mom and dad stayed married or got divorced, or if you failed school, dropped out of school, got a degree. It doesn't matter. We all need Jesus. His power is unlimited. And yet we rob God of His power in our hearts and minds. Some of you are sitting right here today and say, I have done too much in my life for God to even take notice. That's a lie of the devil. That is a lie of the devil. May I encourage you to discover the truths that Mary discovered in her encounter with this angel Gabriel. What are they? Receive Christ as your Savior and Lord without delay. It's the Christmas season. It's a gift of God. Some of you are waiting until Sunday morning, Christmas Day, Sunday morning, to open up some gift. If you're lost this morning, dear friend, you can unravel the gift of eternal life right now today by faith in Christ. Amen. Trust Him. Dear friend, He cares for the problems that you are troubled with right now, today. He cares. The Bible says in the book of Peter, first or second, I don't know which one it is, but He cast your cares upon Him because He careth for you. He cares for you. He cared for us enough that He would send an angel to bring the message to Mary. Mary, you found favor. You had plans, but my plan is eternal. And your plans can't alter my plans. So yield yourself to them. Mary, my plans and my promises are unfailing. I promised in Isaiah I would bring them to pass. Mary, my power is unlimited. Discover those truths today through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Jim's on his way. The pianist will be here in a moment. Perhaps you're saved and you know you're on your way to heaven. Have you stopped just recently in the last week or month or so and just knelt and gave honor and praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Maybe you're lost this morning. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. If you'd come this morning, we'll take the Word of God and we'll show you from the Bible how you can know that you have eternal life. Jesus saves, and there is no other way. And what a season, Christmas season, to come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior.